It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold.
1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003.
125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football.
You're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show,
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Monday through Friday at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bach.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Democratic candidates are held to a higher moral standard. I don't see Representative McCarthy calling for George Santos to shamefully leave the halls of Congress. It is never principle above party. It is never principle and policy above person and personal achievement for Republicans.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Morning. 7 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, 61 degrees in Eau Claire and 62 degrees in Richland Center. Hope you're having a good morning so far. We do have breaking news on several fronts right now, a few different things going on. I guess the biggest story right now that just broke about 10 minutes ago is this story about the January 6th investigation. The former president, Trump, says he's a target in special counsel's Capitol attack investigation. This is from the New York Times. It says it would be the second time the special counsel has notified the former president that he is likely to face indictment, this time in connection with the criminal investigation into the events leading up to the storming of the Capitol. And this was just updated 14 minutes ago by Maggie Haberman. Says the letter is a sign that he is likely to be indicted in the case. Former President Donald Trump said on Tuesday, today, that he recently received a so-called target letter from the special counsel Jack Smith in connection with the criminal investigation into his efforts to hold on to power after he lost the 2020 election, a sign that he is likely to be indicted in the case. It would be the second time Mr. Smith has notified Trump that he is a target in a federal investigation. The first time was in June in connection to the investigation into Trump's handling of national defense material after he left office and his alleged obstruction of efforts to retrieve it. Here's a quote from the former president. This was posted on his social media platform, Truth Social. He said, deranged Jack Smith, the prosecutor with Joe Biden's DOJ, sent a letter, again, it was Sunday night, stating that I am a target of the January 6th grand jury investigation and giving me a very short 4 days to report to the grand jury, which almost always means an arrest and indictment. Trump posted on his social media platform, Truth Social, after a news inquiry into whether he had been told he is a target. A person close to Trump confirmed he had received the letter. It's not clear what specific aspect of Mr. Smith's investigation into the efforts to obstruct the transfer of power that Trump may be indicted in. This is a developing story. Please check back for updates. Interesting. So they have notified Trump now that he is a target in the investigation, January 6th. Hey, another story that's breaking right now, it looks like a U.S. soldier is believed to be in the custody of North Korea after an unauthorized border crossing, according to officials. This is from CBS News. It says a U.S. service member crossed into North Korea and was believed to be in the custody of the country's forces. A U.S. official told CBS News on Tuesday it was the United Nations Command, which operates the joint security area within the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea, that first said an unidentified U.S. national had crossed the border. The U.S. official told CBS News the troop in question was being escorted back to the United States for disciplinary reasons, but after going through airport security, they somehow returned and managed to join the border tour. Quote, a U.S. national on a JSA orientation tour crossed without authorization the military demarcation line into the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. UN Command said in its statement earlier, we believe he is currently in DPRK custody, that's the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and are working with our KPA counterparts to resolve this incident. That's the end of that quote. It says here, local media said a foreign national who was visiting the military demarcation line crossed the border at 3:27 local time. That's 3:27 p.m., which would have been 2:27 a.m. Eastern time, or 1:27 a.m. Wisconsin time. A person who said they witnessed the event and was part of the same tour group told CBS News they had just visited one of the buildings at the site when, quote, this man gives out a loud ha 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 and just runs in between some buildings, end quote. The witness said military personnel reacted within seconds to the man's actions, but at first there was confusion. So evidently this guy was in custody of U.S. military and escaped, ran into North Korea. Quote, I thought it was a bad joke at first, but when he didn't come back, I realized it wasn't a joke. And then everybody reacted and things got crazy. It's the end of the quote. The witness said there were no North Korean soldiers visible where the man ran, and that they were told there haven't been any since the coronavirus pandemic, when the North Korea attempted to completely seal its borders to the outside world. They said after the man ran across the border, the tour group was rushed back to the Freedom House for everyone to give statements and then taken to their bus. Quote, I'm telling you this because it actually hit me quite hard, the witness said. It was on the way back in the bus and we got to one of the checkpoints. Someone said we were 43 going in and 42 coming back. That demilitarized zone that separates North and South Korea is one of the most heavily militarized borders in the world. The two Koreas remain technically at war, as fighting in the Korean War ended in 1953, but with an armistice agreement, not a full peace treaty. The United States has maintained a large troop presence in South Korea ever since. Tension between the isolated North Korean regime of Kim Jong-un and the U.S., along with America's key Asian allies, South Korea and Japan, has soared over the last decade after a false start at diplomacy under former President Donald Trump. The North has carried out a steady litany of missile and rocket tests, most of which are condemned by the West as violations of United Nations Security Council resolutions. U.S. officials have made it clear they expect North Korea to carry out a new test of a nuclear weapon at any point, which would be a significant escalation of what the West considers Kim's provocations. North Korea, on the other hand, regularly warns the U.S. against holding joint military exercises with South Korea which it claims are rehearsals for an invasion. This border incident, the U.S. soldier running into North Korea on Tuesday, came as the U.S. military confirmed the arrival in a South Korean port of the nuclear-armed submarine USS Kentucky. The visit was the first by a U.S. nuclear submarine to South Korea in four decades. And while it was announced in advance, North Korea was likely to claim it is another American provocation. South Korea's defense minister, Lee Jong-soop, said the sub's visit highlighted Washington's commitment to the extended deterrence of the threat posed by North Korea. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Why did this guy run into North Korea? Where is he now? Who's holding him? I don't know. Lots of crazy stuff going on right now. Speaking of crazy stuff, the next story we're going to get to is about a crazy guy in Ohio, Jim Jordan. You know him? He's the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and now he is threatening to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt. This is from The Hill. It says Jordan threatens FBI's Wray with contempt of Congress. And it also says that House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, threatened Monday to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress for what he claims is the agency's wholly inadequate compliance with two subpoenas issued earlier this year. Here's a quote. It says, "We write to notify you that if the FBI does not improve its compliance substantially, the committee will take action, such as the initiation of content of Congress proceedings to obtain compliance with these subpoenas." Jordan wrote in a letter to FBI Director Wray, giving the FBI a deadline of July 25th at 12 p.m. to hand over requested documents before the committee will take action. The chairman claimed the letter was issued only after, quote, several accommodations, months of persistent outreach by the committee, and attempts to negotiate and work with the FBI in good faith, end quote. In February, Wray, the head of the FBI, along with Attorney General Merrick Garland and Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, were issued subpoenas following a memo from Garland that noted a, quote, disturbing spike in harassment, intimidation, and threats of violence against school administrators, board members, teachers, and staff, end quote. So it looks like Jim Jordan wants to hold FBI Director Wray in contempt. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Got to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. We'll get to around 81 for a high today, but it's not going to be very humid. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. 85 the high tomorrow. Thursday, slight chance of a thunderstorm with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night hit him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate. Saxophone someplace far off played as she was walking on by the arcade, as the light bust through a beat up shade where he was waking up. She dropped a coin into the cup above a blind man at the gate and forgot about a simple twist of fate. Was bare. He didn't see her anywhere. He told himself he didn't care. Pushed the window open wide. Felt that emptiness inside, to which he just could not relate. Brought on by a simple twist of fate. He hears the ticking of the clock. Walks along with a parrot that talks, hunts her down by the waterfront docks where the sailors all come in. Maybe she'll pick him out again. How long must he wait? One more time for a simple twist of fate. People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late. Blame it on this simple twist of fate.
All right, blame it on a simple twist of fate. 24 minutes. Let me make that 25 minutes now. 25 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. Stu Daniels with you. Hope you're having a good day. And if you've been paying attention to the Republican race for president, you might wonder what's going on with that guy from Florida. I thought he was supposed to be the answer to those who aren't ready for another Trump candidacy. It's like, what about this guy from Florida, Ron DeSantis? He's done all kinds of crazy things down in Florida. Wouldn't he make a great Republican candidate? Well, the story from Rolling Stone says that private GOP polling data reveals why the DeSantis campaign is sputtering. As you probably know, or as you may know, his numbers have gone down quite a bit since he first announced his candidacy. The subheadline says the Florida governor wanted to unseat Trump in part by harnessing voters' rage over COVID and vaccines. Internal data reveal that's a losing bet. And this piece was posted yesterday. It says rage against COVID-19 lockdowns and vaccine mandates accelerated Ron DeSantis's rise to the top of the Republican Party. It was supposed to be a key part of the governor's plan to outflank Donald Trump in the 2024 primary. But here's the problem. Republican voters at this point largely just don't care, at least not when they're picking a candidate. Six different Republican operatives, campaign officials, and pollsters described or shared with Rolling Stone internal data and surveys they conducted or reviewed last and this year. Some of these sources are Trump-aligned, some support DeSantis, and others back different 2024 GOP presidential hopefuls. Across the board in the surveys, COVID-related policy, including vaccines and vaccine mandates, did not rank as an item of high concern for voters. That held true even when voters were specifically given the option of COVID policy when asked about their concerns. Since the middle of last year, COVID-related policy did not show up in conservatives' top 10 or top 15 issues in any form, leading various campaigns and consultants to declare it, for the most part, unuseful. The DeSantis campaign did not respond to a request for comment on this story. Quote, "We don't agree on much in American politics these days, but there's one thing everyone agrees on. They're pretty much over talking about or thinking about COVID-19, says Kristen Soltis Anderson, a longtime Republican pollster, who adds that she and her firm are not affiliated with any 2024 presidential campaigns. And what's going to happen next? I don't know. Is Ron DeSantis going to stay in the race? Is he going to bail out? Who knows? Running out of time. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. A nationwide heat wave has people in Phoenix facing a 19th day of temperatures 110 or above. Hope McNally has no AC.
It's miserable. It is miserable in here. I mean, I can't stand too much more of it. I'm afraid I'm going to have a heat stroke or something.
Smoke from Canadian wildfires is still wafting into the Midwest and Northeast. CBS News confirms an American soldier has been taken into custody in North Korea. CBS's Haley Ott spoke to an an eyewitness.
This person said that they had just finished seeing one of the buildings in the DMZ when a gentleman nearby laughed really loudly and then ran off onto the North Korean side of the DMZ, of the border.
A judge in Iowa has temporarily blocked a new ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. KCCI-TV's Bo Bowman with the governor's response.
I will fight this all the way to the Iowa Supreme Court, where we expect a decision that will finally provide justice for the unborn.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For 105.7 CFW and 93.5 The Tap FM, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in the Chippewa Valley. While no one won the Powerball jackpot in Saturday's drawing, one lucky winner in Chippewa Falls is $100,000 richer, thanks to matching four of the five numbers and the Powerball. The winning ticket was sold at a Senex gas station. The jackpot for last night's drawing was estimated to be over $900 million. And tonight, the Eau Claire County Board of Supervisors will elect a new board chair. Former Chair Nick Smyra was voted out last week over the handling of the investigation into the county's health department, which was $3 million over budget in 2019. The new chair will serve until the next election of board officers after next spring's election. One person is dead after a motorcycle crash in Sawyer County Sunday afternoon. The sheriff's office said the 53-year-old Ladysmith man was driving east on Highway 48, about a mile west of Excellent, when he lost control of his motorcycle and crashed in the ditch. Officials don't know when the crash happened, but said in a release they are still investigating. From the Civic Media News Desk here in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
With one call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media.
608-819-8255.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to four messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media weather team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
93.5. The Tap. 93.5. The Tap.
From the very first time I
Bain. 9:36 right now on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for sticking around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. I got a story here about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Man, have you heard what she was talking about? I guess it was, what, yesterday or the day before when she was talking about, she was trying to explain how Joe Biden has made everybody's life worse. And yet, everything she was talking about were things that were making Americans' lives better. This is a piece from USA Today, and it's an opinion piece from Rex Hupke of USA Today, updated 2 hours ago. Marjorie Taylor Greene compares Biden to FDR and LBJ. Thanks for the free campaign ad, is the headline. It says the predominantly ludicrous lawmaker from Georgia did Biden a solid this weekend, telling Republicans the Democratic president is fiendishly attempting to make people's lives better. Far-right Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene might have accidentally realized Joe Biden is a good president. The predominantly ludicrous lawmaker from Georgia did Biden an unexpected and surely unplanned solid this weekend in a speech at the conservative Turning Point Action Conference in Florida, telling Republicans the Democratic president is fiendishly attempting to make people's lives better. She compared Biden's Build Back Better plan to President Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society, an array of programs from the mid-1960s aimed at combating poverty in America. Those programs included Medicare, Medicaid, and food stamps, along with the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Do you think we'd be better off without Medicare and Medicaid and food stamps and the Civil Rights Act? Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks linking Biden to popular programs like Medicare will hurt him. This opinion piece goes on and says, now I'm just a humble newspaper columnist, but it strikes me as a curious political strategy to compare the legislation of a president you despise and want to impeach with some of the most broadly popular legislation in American history. A Kaiser Family Foundation survey from March found more than 80% of Americans have either a very favorable or somewhat favorable opinion of Medicare, and 76% feel the same way about Medicaid. As Marjorie Taylor Greene talked about President Johnson, she said dismissively, quote, his big socialist programs were the Great Society, big government programs to address education, medical care, urban problems, rural poverty, transportation, Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, and welfare, end quote. That monster. Surely no politician wants to be associated with helping address education or rural poverty or transportation. And it says here, surely the last thing voters want is a president like Biden who is, gasp, helping Americans? Marjorie Taylor Greene continued making the case for Biden's reelection, quote, now LBJ had the Great Society, but Joe Biden had Build Back Better, and he still is working on it, the largest public investment in social infrastructure and environmental programs that is actually finishing what FDR started, that LBJ expanded on, and Joe Biden is attempting to complete, end quote. Oh no, not investing in social infrastructure? Heaven forfend. Innocent Americans might get helped. As if connecting Biden to popular social programs wasn't enough, Greene took the high praise a step further by looping in President Franklin D. Roosevelt, one of the most popular presidents in American history. I honestly wonder if a covert Biden campaign official didn't slip this speech into Greene's teleprompter ahead of time. it's Marjorie Taylor Greene, so no, so one has to expect some lies. Of course, there were a few mistakes. She started out by saying Biden and Johnson are both Democrats socialists, which is an insult to both socialists and words. She continued the comparison by saying, quote, Lyndon B. Johnson was the majority leader in the Senate. Does that sound familiar? It sounds neither familiar nor relevant, as Biden was never majority leader in the Senate. She also said Biden is trying to complete socialism, which doesn't make any sense, and pointed out that we are now $32 trillion in debt. In parentheses, it says the debt has increased by $3.7 trillion midway through Biden's first term, and it increased by $7.8 trillion in President Donald Trump's one term, while lying that inflation is at a 40-year high. It was last year, but has since dropped for 12 consecutive months to a two-year low in June. And America now has lower inflation than any of the other group of seven major industrial nations. The Biden campaign should be thanking Marjorie Taylor Greene for the free campaign ad. Pesky facts aside, Greene's attempt to raise Biden's profile to that of FDR and the president who launched a war on poverty and created Medicare was clearly appreciated. On Monday morning, the official White House Twitter account retweeted the video of Greene's speech, adding, "Caught us. President Biden is working to make life easier for hardworking families," end quote. If Biden's campaign officials are smart, they'll take video of Greene's speech, cut it into a re-election ad, run it in every market in America, and cash in on the goodwill. Thanks, Marge. It's an opinion piece from Rex Hupke of USA Today. Marjorie Taylor Greene explaining why Joe Biden has been a great president and trying to make it sound bad, that he's looking out for people, trying to make the lives of Americans better. And that seems to be the case these days. And it also seems like many Republicans have the idea that the whole idea of government is to inflict cruelty on some people. I found a piece here from the Raw story by Jessica Corbett of Common Dreams, designed to inflict cruelty. Rights groups sue Florida over a new Ron DeSantis law. Says here, legal groups representing the Farm Worker Association of Florida and impacted individuals on Monday filed a federal lawsuit in Miami challenging Senate Bill 1781, one of several far-right state laws pushed through this year by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis as he geared up for the Republican 2024 presidential primary. Signed by DeSantis in May, the measure is unconstitutional, xenophobic, and will increase the unlawful racial profiling of Florida's black and brown communities, said Paul Chavez, senior supervising attorney with the Southern Poverty Law Center's Immigrant Justice Project, which filed the suit with the state and national ACLU, as well as the American Immigration Council and Americans for Immigrant Justice. Here's a quote. Says, admittedly designed to inflict cruelty, SB 1718 is unconstitutional and undermines our democracy. This lawsuit will vindicate all of our constitutional rights, and we remain committed to ensuring that immigrants are treated fairly, equally, and with dignity. Such an ugly attack on our immigrant community will not stand. The new Florida law aims to crack down on the employment of undocumented immigrants and requires hospitals that accept Medicaid to ask on forms whether a patient is in the United States lawfully. It also expands the Florida Department of Law Enforcement's mission to include immigration matters, deems out-of-state driver's license issued to unauthorized immigrants invalid, and makes it a felony to transport into the state anyone who is illegally entered the country. As the American Immigration Council outlined in a series of tweets, this case focuses on the transportation portion of the law, though the group also emphasized that Section 10 is just one part of SB 17 that harms immigrant families. I'm suing because this law harms our families and many others. We aren't doing anything to hurt anyone. On the contrary, we're here working, paying taxes, and trying to provide a safe life for our families, said one of the individual plaintiffs identified as M.M. Now we're scared to even travel together as a family. I would never want my son to face a felony for traveling with his mother and his sister. It makes no sense. We're family. How can this be? Well, the cruelty is the point, as we often see from many on the Republican side of the aisle these days. The cruelty is the point. Many of their policies are designed to inflict cruelty. Stick around. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Said, son, when I'm gone, don't forget to pray, 'cause there'll be hard times. Hard times, oh yeah, yeah. Who knows better than I?
Listen to this mission. Highlight ag research from the university, showcase education, and show off new technology. Written almost 70 years ago, it's still what you'll find at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. This year's show includes hot tech like drones, food grown across the state, and how it all impacts our economy. Sauk County is your Farm Technology Days host at the Badger Steam and Gas Engine Club in Baraboo, July 18th through 20th. Details at wifarmtechdays.org. I'm Terry Bob.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8.
On your local civic media radio station and on the app.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done,
over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
.93.5 The Tap.
Sunny this morning, becoming partly cloudy this afternoon. We'll get to around 81 for a high today, but it's not going to be very humid. The wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 58. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon and nighttime thunderstorms. 85 the high tomorrow. Thursday, slight chance of a thunderstorm with a high of 78. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
My
7:51 right now on this Tuesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And hey, Aaron, are you planning to go to any movies later this week?
I wasn't planning to. Why do you ask?
Well, a couple of big movies coming out. Do you know which ones I'm talking about, or don't you know?
Well, I know Indiana Jones already came out, right. And I don't remember which other big movies are going on right now.
Oh, man. Let's see. Today is the 18th, so it must be Friday. On Friday, two of the biggest, most anticipated movies are coming out. Of course, the big Barbie movie, which everybody who's seen it so far said is a pretty funny movie and worth going to see. But also the other movie that's coming out on Friday is that movie called Oppenheimer. Are you familiar with that?
Yes, that's right. That one I might go to. I forgot that was this weekend.
Yeah.
One of my roommates I want to go check it out.
Yeah, this might be worth checking out. And this piece here that I have from The Nation by John Mecklen says why this movie, Oppenheimer, could be that teachable moment. We were speaking earlier about the fact that North Korea will probably be doing another nuclear test real soon. The subheadline says here, even if Oppenheimer, the movie, won't provide a resolution of our nuclear quandary, it could amplify awareness of the danger too often accepted as normal. Over the last several months, organizations concerned about the threat of nuclear war have been buzzing in anticipation of the new Universal Pictures film, Oppenheimer. For those of us who'd like to see the risk of apocalypse reduced, the movie seems a major popular culture godsend. Its director, Christopher Nolan, has a proven talent for playing large on the public screen. And though I have yet to see the entire film, which has been kept largely under wraps until its July 21st opening, after talking with Nolan in May, I have every expectation it will be smart, serious, and engaging. The race during World War II to build an American atomic bomb before Nazi Germany acquired one is high order drama. And by the way, just think about that for a second. What if Nazi Germany had acquired an atomic bomb first? This piece goes on and says, and J. Robert Oppenheimer, the enigmatic director of the Los Alamos laboratory that birthed the bomb, lived an accomplished and vivid life, rising to the heights of scientific celebrity before being cast into disrepute, accused wrongly of disloyalty during the Red Scare of the 1950s. His story is a tragedy of Shakespearean heft. It's hard to imagine a historical narrative more fit for the big screen. But even great art cannot be expected to solve global political problems on its own. And this particular historical narrative cannot provide anything like a roadmap for confronting the nuclear threat of the 21st century, because when it comes to the responsible handling of nuclear weapons, history is mostly full of bad examples. Yes, after World War II and the incineration of tens of thousands of civilians at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Oppenheimer and others from the Manhattan Project worked to rein in the atomic monster they'd helped create, but their efforts largely failed. The atomic hawks in the United States and the Soviet Union, later Russia, largely won. And now every single person on Earth must live every single day with a probability of all but instantaneous global nuclear apocalypse that's higher than it's ever been. Even if Oppenheimer, the movie, won't provide a lasting impetus for solving our nuclear quandary, it could be the news hook that quality publications, serious pundits, concerned public officials, and ordinary people around the world use to amplify a bizarre reality that is too often accepted as normal. The world's major nuclear powers are now involved in precisely the kind of self-driving arms race that Oppenheimer warned against in the immediate aftermath of World War II when he advocated unsuccessfully, as it turned out, for the United States to give up its nuclear monopoly and put nuclear technology under international control. This new 21st century arms race is labeled euphemistically nuclear modernization. In the United States, the 30-year cost of the programs falling under the nuclear modernization umbrella, including new nuclear-capable bombers, land-based nuclear missiles, and nuclear submarines, has been estimated at between $1.2 trillion and $1.7 trillion. Given the history of U.S. military budget overruns, that's probably a wild underestimate. Russia and China are also in the midst of ridiculously expensive upgrades to nuclear weapons platforms and systems that can and will never be used unless some madman decides to light 1,000 or so of the world's largest cities on fire and end civilization. Yes, the overarching truth of the matter is that countries around the world are spending vast sums on nuclear weapons and paraphernalia that are the equivalent of the lawn care junk that you bought at Costco but sits in your garage unused. The leaders of these countries have spent all those billions of dollars on useless nuclear junk in hopes of deterring the leaders of the other countries from even thinking about using the useless nuclear junk they have wasted their country's money on. So goes the insanity of an arms race. I think I'm going to check it out. Oppenheimer starts on Friday. Should be worth seeing. And I might go see the Barbie movie too. Hey, that's it. We've run out of time for today. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you'll be back tomorrow. I will be tomorrow morning, 8 o'clock. See you then.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.